Thank you. Good morning.
I don't have a list of anybody.
That's my daughter, Carrie Macias, on behalf of the county attorney's office.
From where?
From the county attorney's office.
And here's the list.
Dr. Wright was hiding it.
I still hold on to it over here.
You don't want to keep it, but I would have. It wasn't blame you for everything, yes, so I'm responsible for holding that list and want you to see it. Only things are.
Okay. So Mr. Arts, is that?
Yes, sir.
Arts, would you step up to the podium, sir, please? I guess I should get the correct one for you. And you leave us on the open case. All right, so would you state your full name and the ADC number, if you can remember it?
Yeah, I can. It's Armando Roberto Arts III, ADC number 095001.
Mr. Neal, before we get started, and I don't have that at the moment that I give to someone else, I think we're supposed to make a call to his parole officer. Am I not correct, sir?
Yes, he said it would be.
Yeah, so we're supposed to do that by phone, and I'm trying to. Do you have his number, Mr. Neal?
I do have his number.
Okay, well, here we go, well, okay.
Is this?
Yeah, that one on the back page.
Oh.
Yes, sir, that's it. See, he was holding that one too. See, he holds everything this morning, Mr. Neal. Thank you, honorable.
I'm making a technical expert.
Sir.
Good morning, Dr. Wright.
Oh, it's just a pleasure to hear your voice. Sorry we cannot see you in person this morning. But we're ready to begin the hearing, and I'm not going to conduct it, but the Honorable Mr. David Neal will be conducting the hearing at this time. We're just now getting ready to get started, sir. So the next person we hear will be that of Mr. Neal, and the distinguished gentleman who's on home arrest. He is already here. He's standing at the podium at this moment, getting ready to tell us something in a few moments.
Okay, I'm just going to go over some brief information, but first I'll introduce the board. I'm not sure who you've been in front of before, but this morning we have, to my far right is the Honorable Michael Johnson, and to my immediate right is the Honorable Dr. C.T. Wright, who is board chairman, and I'll be the panel chair, and my name is David Neal. Welcome to the Arizona Board of Executive Clemency, sir. I'm going to go over some general information, and then we're going to give you a chance to tell us all about what's been going on.
Okay.
So you're currently at home arrest, and we're asking for general parole or after discharge. Your home arrest was granted on August 14, 2017. You were actually released on home arrest on October 19, 2017. Correct, sir?
Yes, sir.
Okay. So you've been on home arrest a little over 5 months. The offense occurred in between September of 1991 and December of 1992. Back when you were incarcerated, you committed, you pled guilty to conspiracy to commit murder. You negotiated with them, which the case was negotiated with, to your dismay, an undercover detective to have your girlfriend murdered so she couldn't testify against you in a trial for aggravated assault. Does that sound?
That's correct.
Yeah, it's been a long time, but that's it. And so I've got a pretty extensive packet here. A lot of support information and things like that came about before you released on home rest, but we, you know, have an entire packet now. A lot of people have put a lot of faith in you. The board put a lot of faith in you when we gave you home rest. I see from Mr. Pogue's report that you've done quite well, and if Mr. Pogue says it, or Officer Pogue says you did quite well, you must have, because he's a very fair man, but he's also very strict. And so why don't we let you at this time kind of tell us what's been going on for the last 5 months, what kind of progress you made? And
well, a lot has happened. It's all been an amazing experience since I got out of prison. But
please state your name again, sir.
My name is Armando Roberto Arroz III.
Thank you, sir.
Okay, so I got released, and the first thing I did was set about getting some things ordered in my life that needed to get taken care of. There were some fines I had to pay. I had to get my license back. I had to kind of, one of the things I had to do, and I'm still working on, is getting acclimated to all the technology. I got settled in. I moved in. The manager of my sober living house is here. I'm not there because I have an addiction, but I did get paroled there, and that's been a great experience for me. He'll tell you a little bit about that. I didn't wait long before getting a job. I was able. One of the guys at the house was working for Jackson's Car Wash. My general manager of the auto glass division is here, and he'll tell you a little bit about that too. And so I started working maybe a month and a half after I got out, or maybe even shorter than that. And since that time, I've just tried to do the right thing consistently. I've taken care of all my fines. I've gone to all of my counseling. And not with a resentful attitude, but, you know, like I'm being forced to do this, but wholeheartedly. You know I need to do these things, and I'm at the age now where I try to take advantage of things and support things from, the cup being half full as opposed to half empty. I really enjoyed my counseling with Carol Coughlin. I completed that. It was a CHC counseling. I'm still in contact with her. The job has been amazing. It's opened up a lot of doors for me in terms of being able to do some things to establish my credit. I'm trying to do that because I'd like to eventually buy my own home. So I bought it with the help of my mother. I was able to buy a car, which I needed to get me around because I travel a lot with my job. I recently was promoted to the leadership team on the auto glass division after about 4 months of working there. I've worked hard at my job. I've tried to learn as much as I can about it. I've dedicated myself to it. I show up every day, unless I'm sick, on time, and do my job to the best of my ability. I tried to have a positive influence on the guys that were in the house. They've been in the house, I grew up with 900 guys, and that's been an interesting experience, but it's been a good one. I've been going to church consistently since I got out of prison, and that's real important for me. That's kind of like where everything starts for me. And so every Wednesday, I can't go Sunday because I work on that day generally, but every Wednesday I go to church, and I go there, fellowship and get my bearings and make sure that I'm grounded in the things that are going to help me be successful. I'm still educating myself. I had some courses that I was taking when I was in prison that I didn't finish. One's on the electrician work, the other's on plumbing. I'm still taking those courses. At night I come home and study and I take my exams. I think that about does it. I mean, things have gone really fast for me, but they've gone really well. And I've kind of seen, I expected it to be any different, because I started this process before I got out of prison. You know, this whole getting myself prepared to succeed and just generally deciding that, you know, the way that I wanted to live, how I wanted to live my life. And I started that process in prison. I started this change, if you want to call it a transformation. several years ago, and this is just the fruit of that. And so the person who went to prison 26 years ago, that's not the same person standing in front of you. I'm just, it's amazing what the Lord has done in my life, and the things that I've gone through, the mistakes that I've made, I'm still here. I've got an opportunity to live a great life, and I'm taking advantage of that. And I know that as long as I stay connected to Him, and as long as I keep going in the direction I'm going, that I'm going to succeed. I'm already succeeding. And I like the way that feels. I like the way it tastes. I like everything about it. There's nothing that can lure me back to living the lifestyle that I lived before I went to prison. That's anemia to me at this point in my life. It's just, I can't imagine, I know I was young, but I just can't imagine what I was thinking. When I was living that way, it was just so, what I call stinking thinking. It's just, just terrible thought process were going on at that time in my life. And that's all been changed, healed, if you want to call it that. And so I feel really confident that, and if the board lets me off, if the board doesn't let me off, it's not going to change anything. I'm going to be the same person I am. I'm not succeeding on home arrest because, I'm biding my time or I'm just watching my P's and Q's. I'm succeeding because that's who I am. All that's happening is, just the product of who I'm onto is today. And who it'll be tomorrow and the next day. It's only going to get better. It's not going to go back. It's just I'm growing. I'm continuing to grow. And I've been on this path for a number of years, like I said, and it's who I am. It's ingrained in me now. It's who I want to be. And I think these people will I brought the people that have been closest to me since I've been out of prison that I've, had consistent contact with. They can tell you better than me probably how I've, or at least give you a different perspective how things have gone for me and how I've conducted myself since I've gotten out. So with that, I'll let some of these guys talk.
Okay. Well,
if you have any questions.
It's up to you what order and who you want to come up and what order you want them to speak.
So I think we have some questions.
Do you have some questions?
Okay.
With your permission, sir. Supporters here, but do you have any family members in Arizona? Any of these your family members? I know you have your supervisor here from Jackson's Car Wash and Glass and all, and I commend you for all of that. But do you have family members here in Arizona?
Yeah, most of them.
Okay.
Right there.
Okay. And what's your relationship with them? I mean, do you see them on a regular basis?
All the time.
Or do you see them?
All the time.
Are they supportive of you, sir?
Absolutely. They're great. There is just no way I could have. Transition the way I did from prison to society without their assistance. They've done so much for me. And my sister and my mom, probably these two are the ones I've had the most contact with in terms of family. And it's been very consistent. We always get together. Mom's always coming over, hanging out. So it's we're very close and tight-knit. And they've been amazing in terms of the support that we've offered.
I do take note that you completed that CHC program. So are you taking any other program in there, any counseling whatsoever at this point, sir?
Right now, I just finished that course maybe about 2 weeks ago, and my parole officer said he was going to look into see what else was, if there was anything else required. But having said that, what I would like to do is, when I'm able to do so, is get more involved with my church. And maybe seek out a mentor there. I haven't been able to do that because I go to services and I'm kind of on a tight schedule, so I go and then I come back and I don't really get time to spend with them. But I also Carol Palfin, which is the one I did the counseling, the person I did the counseling with, she left her door open to me. She said at any time, I want to come back and touch base with her and see where I'm at. I can do that, and I intend to do that.
Since you mentioned the church two or three times, what church do you attend, sir?
I go to Church of the Nations, Central Avenue.
Okay.
Michael Madden.
Okay. I also note, I believe in your, in the progress report from your PO, and of course he's on the phone, that you're also on some type of medication, am I correct, or did I misread that, sir?
No, I'm on antidepressants.
And since I raised it, and you admitted that you're on it, so why are you on that medication, sir?
Well, I was diagnosed with depression in 1999. And it took a lot to figure out what was going on. I thought it was something physical. I eventually figured out what it was, got on medication, and it resolved itself. And I've been on medication ever since.
Now that you're out, is it helpful or is it not helpful? I mean, the medication, that's it.
Well, it's going to be helpful wherever I'm at. Because I did try coming off of it, and it didn't work. So I went back on it. And that really wasn't my decision. That was one of the doctors at the ABC that tried to do that. And yes, it's helpful. It doesn't matter whether I'm in prison, it's going to help me.
You did state something to the effect, and these are my words, not yours, that you had to become familiar with this modern technology. So how's that going for you, sir?
It's awesome. I spend so much time, whenever I can. Just to give you an example, I've got a book on my iPhone that's 800 pages long on how to use the iPhone. So every time I get a little chance, I look at that and I read it, and it's just, there's so much to learn, but I love learning. And so that's been a really, really fun process for me. And I've learned quite a bit about technology. I've got a long ways to go, but I've learned quite a bit about it.
Now, reading your package, I do take note that you've purchased a number of books from Barnes & Noble's, I think. So while you, as most of them deal with writing, are you planning to become a writer while you purchase some of the books dealing with writing, sir?
I love writing. When I get time, I do get down. I am working on a short story right now, when time permits. It's one of my passions. I am doing that. I think there's a writer in all of us, but it's definitely something that that I enjoy. If I could, I would spend hours a day doing it. I don't have the time to do that, but it's something that I'm pursuing in addition to everything else. I think that it will be something that I pursue more seriously once I get some other things out of the way that I need to learn that are just more pressing right now, one of them being technology. I spend a lot of time, when I come home from work and I do my studies with my other courses, I spend time learning how to use my Windows operating system, how to use the iPhone, how to sync them, just how to take advantage of apps. There's just so much out there. So when I get all caught up with that stuff where I feel, like I'm tech savvy enough, then I'll have time for other things like that.
Let me just go to another area very briefly. Where are you residing there, sir?
I'm living at a halfway house. It's called Sanctuary. It's between Cactus and Shea on 40th Street.
And how's that going for you? I mean, the living conditions. Who lives there? What type of places?
It's a sober living house, so it's people struggling with addiction. I'm the only one there that doesn't struggle with addiction. I'm there for the other reasons, but it's gone well. I've met some really neat people there. I've made some friends. One of them's down here today. And I really enjoyed that experience. I think it was a great stepping stone for me.
So why are you living there if you don't have a problem with addiction? Why are you there, sir?
Well, it was they were willing to accept me. I mean, it was the one place, I had to go to a halfway house.
Mm-hmm.
So my family went out looking for one, and they were willing to accept me. It's a nice place. It's a nice, place to live, so they accepted me, and that's where I went.
So I'm going to make an assumption. Everybody else there, except for you, had some type of addiction in the past, and
yes.
you have not. So I'm going to make an assumption that one of the things that they deal with is their former habits of using drugs, alcohol, whatever, and therefore they have to identify that triggers and so forth. So what do you do because you don't need all of that according to your past, so what are you doing there? I mean, what are you learning there, sir? What's happening to you there?
I'll tell you, me and my buddy Famous over here, we have some pretty good philosophical discussions on addiction and, the the ways to deal with it, but what I try to do is model what not being addicted looks like. The kind of life you can have when you have, when you put things in order in your life the way they're supposed to be. And that, you know, even with my coming out of prison after 26 years, if you're, you know, it's all about the way you look at things and think. It's about how you think. And so a lot of it, what I see, a lot of it, a lot of the problem with addiction has to deal with, you know, developing the wrong attitudes and thinking process towards things. So what I try to do while I'm there is encourage guys to look at things a little bit differently. And I've had help come the other way too. You know, I've had some guys give me some good advice. But I do feel like I've been a positive influence on the house. I do try to, you know, encourage guys to do things to improve. I talk with them about their addiction all the time. I tell them what I think would work, you know, what's worked for me. So I really enjoyed living there. I felt like, you know, the way I look at things, I don't, for me, things don't happen by accident. You know, there's always some divine appointment involved. And so I have to look at, you know, why I'm there and what I'm supposed to do while I'm there. And regardless of where I'm at, I think that one of the general things I'm supposed to do is just help people.
Okay, well, I'm going to stop at this point. I can go on, as you can see, but I'm going to stop. But thank you so much, Mr. Neal, for allowing me this opportunity to get to know you a little better.
Mr. Johnson, do you have any questions?
Sir, have you taken any anger management classes since you've been out?
Well, the course I took from CHC dealt with anger management, dealt with anger and some of the, you know, the thinking processes that go behind it. And, but, you know, I think for me, I mean, it's not a course, but for me, anger management begins with reading my Bible every day and getting a different, getting the proper perspective on things. Because the Bible talks a lot about that, and it deals a lot with attitudes and perspectives and how to deal with, you know, different negative attitudes like anger. But I don't feel, I did a lot of stuff. I did some of that stuff, some anger management stuff while I was in prison before I got out. And it's something that I've worked hard on over the years. And I feel like I'm in a pretty good spot when it comes to managing my anger. I mean, I haven't really been angry since I've gotten out of prison. I don't experience it much.
So, sir, would you say your relationship with your mom and your sister is better now than it was before you went to prison? Or?
Oh, absolutely. Yeah, absolutely.
Well, why would you say that?
Because I'm better. I mean, and you know, as a young man, I didn't appreciate the people in my life like I do today. Mm-hmm. And that's you know, and so now I'm in a spot where I appreciate them, and, you know, I really, really appreciate both of them. They're just awesome. And I know that they appreciate me, and so, yeah, it's just, I'm just, like I said when I started, I'm just a different person, and I look at things differently. And that's one of the things that have really improved for me is my relationships with other people. And that especially applies to my immediate family.
Okay, thank you, sir.
You're welcome.
A question about your relationship with your mother. Does she still grab you by the ear when you do something wrong?
No, not like that, but she does. We have a really good relationship in terms of she's got something to say, and it's constructive, and she's, you know, trying to show me something. I listen to her. I try to honor my mother, and one of the ways I do that is by listening to what she says.
Unlike when you were younger.
Unlike when I was younger. Yes, very unlike.
Okay, well, I don't think we're having more questions this time. So I don't know how many of your supporters you want to speak in what order, so that would be...
Well, we'll go down the line with the work, the home, and then the family, if that's okay with the board.
It's your hearing.
All right.
You can have a seat up front, sir, in on my side here.
Okay.
Good morning, Mr. Johnson, Dr. Ray, Mr. Neal. My name's Travis Doan, General Manager with Jackson's Glass, here speaking on behalf of Armando Eros. Came aboard about mid-November. Around Thanksgiving, we started to get phone calls from extremely satisfied customers. Tales of him going above and beyond for elderly people in our car wash, opening doors for the women, the whole nine yards. He's been an absolute asset since joining our team. I'd like to share with everyone a picture that had went up through general manager of our oil and lube division, snapped a picture of what Mr. Eros was doing to assist a couple who was much, much older. And it got up to the vice president of our company, who sent it to me. And picture's worth a thousand words. So if you don't mind, if I could show that to you.
It's on your phone?
Yes, sir.
Well, we're going to let you do it this time because we have to keep a copy, but we can't keep a copy since you...
I can text it to you if you'd like, sir.
Okay, but on my phone.
Okay. He had gone out and helped this elderly couple with their gas and cleaned their windows. I guess, you know, he definitely went above and beyond. And what we like to look for is... what someone is doing when no one else is watching, integrity. And it was from the vice president's request that we make room immediately on the leadership team for Mr. Eros. So other than that, I really don't have much else to say other than he's an absolute asset and it's been a pleasure to work with him.
So, I'm sorry.
Wait, go ahead.
So Mr. Jackson, what is the leadership team? What does the leadership team do?
Well, basically train. We train all the newer guys. More of like a counseling role for new and existing employees, things of that nature. Since he's come in, he's got a knack for learning. His ability to soak up everything and do everything by the book is something that we don't see very often. That coupled with getting calls and other employees seeing the things that he's doing, going above and beyond, is it's something that we don't see, to be completely honest with you. So it's pretty great.
Any other questions?
No.
Thank you, sir.
You're welcome.
Gentlemen, how are you? I'm Famous Lusty. I'm Mr. Arles' house manager at the Sober Living.
What'd you say your name was again?
Famous.
Famous?
Like a famous person.
Okay.
there's a story behind that too, but we'll save that for another time, huh? So I've had the privilege of spending more time with Mr. Arles than anybody else. Day to day I live with him. And I understand that it's probably an uncommon thing to expect for him to be released from house arrest so soon. But Mr. Arles is not a common man. I couldn't be more proud of the progress that he's made and the things that he's done. There's a couple of things that I want to point to as examples. And I know one of the things you talked about was anger management. So I want to give a specific example of a case in the house where he dealt with some adversity. Armando's not perfect. Today, obviously, all you can hear are the positive things, right? What's great about Armando? What faults Armando has maybe sometimes is that he's a know-it-all. He's a little cocky sometimes. The reason I want to share that with you is because I want to be real about who Armando is, okay? And there was a gentleman in the house who didn't take lightly to that. And they didn't get along. They just couldn't see eye to eye. For all the great character traits Armando has, this gentleman couldn't see past those. And one day that escalated and got to a verbal altercation on this young man's end, and he spit in Mr. Ross's face and called him some names. And I don't know about you gentlemen, but that would be tough, I think, for anybody to sit down and just deal with. But he did. He calmly composed himself, gathered himself, and chose not to react. And that's not an easy thing to do for anybody. I don't care who you are, what age, what situation. I see a lot of people come and go through my house. And most of them don't do well. Most of them don't make it. Their attitude isn't right. They're not doing the things they need to do to be successful, even though we try to implement those things in their lives. And Armando is doing those things. And at the end of the day, when he asked me to speak, the one thing I asked myself is, if he were to be released from house arrest, is that going to make him more of an asset to society or less? Is he going to be a risk or not? Because at the end of the day, that's really what it's about, and I understand that. It's about making sure the community is safe. And I have 5 children. I love all my children dearly. I'd die for any one of them any time. And I wouldn't, without a question or without a moment's notice, leave those children in the care of Mr. Arles for as long as I needed to. Again, he's not perfect, but what faults he does have, he continues to work on. I think he would be an asset to society. I think conditionally, maybe with some anger management classes, maybe with some other things that he could do to volunteer in the community, it would be advantageous for him to be off house arrest. I consider him a friend, a confidant, and somebody that I strongly believe in. And with as many bad things as I see, and many people that come through and fail, it's really nice to be on the other end of it and to see somebody doing as well as he is. That's all I have.
Thank you.
What is the name of the sober living? What's the name of it?
It's Sanctuary Sober Living.
And where is it located?
So our house is located off of 40th Street in Shea in Phoenix, and then we have 4 other locations.
4th Street. Okay, thank you, sir.
You're welcome.
Any other questions? Thank you, sir.
Thank you.
And I'm terrified of public speaking, so I'm just going to read from this. It's all right with everyone. I just want to say that I'm so incredibly proud and taken aback by my brother's laser focus and drive with respect to building a strong foundation for himself as he begins the second part of his life. He is embracing every challenge, which you've heard a number of them this morning, with such zeal, and is determined to make a positive impact on this world. His faith in God is unbreakable, and he believes wholeheartedly that God has not only given him this second chance to realize and share his potential, but that God is also there to guide him through the many ups and downs on his road to success, hopefully. While having the ankle bracelet on has been really, I think, obviously necessary and a very valuable tool to help my brother adjust to the outside world via structure and accountability, I would implore the court to please consider Armando's post-release performance and let him take the next step and remain a high-functioning citizen, member of society who is not publicly branded as someone who has a troubled past. Abraham Lincoln once said, I just wanted to share this one, the people, when rightly and fully trusted, will return the trust. And just as I believe the ankle bracelet served as a valuable tool, I feel that the removal of it would serve as a symbol of trust and growth and hope in my brother's future. So thank you.
Any questions?
No.
Thank you, ma'am.
Hi. I'm Armando's mother, and I believe I recognize all of you from earlier. If you excuse me, I'm going to read my letter too, because I think it would be, I kind of put my thoughts down on paper. So from the time my son was released, he has been...
For official reasons, recording reason, please state your name.
Oh, I'm sorry. It's Sharon Aros.
Yes, ma'am.
From the time my son was released, he has been, as my daughter put it, laser-focused on building a new life for himself. He put it in one day at a time by learning and listening to Patrick, his parole officer, and making sure he followed all the rules. He first paid all of his fines, settled his restitution, renewed his license, got a good job, began to take care of his physical condition, and found a church home. He was on government access only for 3 months before he began paying his own way with insurance and groceries, which I'm very proud of him for that. Coming out of prison after 25 years, there was so much for him to grasp via technology, and I saw his passion for learning and found it remarkable, excuse me, how easily he picked it up, the use of the computer and the cell phone. The aspect I love the most about my son is his thirst for knowledge. He's never satisfied unless he understands every facet completely. I can't tell you how proud I am of him. I know that he will be very successful in life. If given the opportunity and feel that allowing him to go on general parole or whatever will not change the attitude toward following the rules. I believe that the Lord will continue to bless my son and that he will continue to grow and become the man he was meant to be. And I just want to say that my son and I pray together all the time. He is such a help to this family. And he prays with all of my children. And he loves them all dearly, and they all love him. And do you have any questions?
Thank you.
What is, because I was reading through here, and it appears that maybe before your son was incarcerated that he was kind of a different person and didn't get along
my
with his family
son,
as well. But
my
I wanted
son,
to ask, what I wanted to ask you is, what is the difference between your son's relationship and attitude now than it was when he got incarcerated on this long term?
To be perfectly frank with you, I believe my son suffered from mental depression for a long, long time.
Okay.
His father committed suicide. Yeah. So he grew up without a dad, and he had four sisters. I think his anger came from a lot of it was his mental depression, and he just couldn't grasp life. And I used to, when he got angry sometimes, I would sit and watch him, and you could tell he felt so bad after he did something, but he couldn't control himself. But when he got in prison, and I think I went to see my son almost every weekend while he was in prison for 25 years. I saw this man growing out of that anger, and especially when he started his medication. I'll never forget when I went down and talked to him, and he said, I think there's something wrong with me. And he finally discovered that there was some mental issues. And once I put him on medication, he became a different person. It took a while, but he grew into this person that you could talk to, you could feel, you could have a heart-to-heart conversation with, you could pray with him, and he was just a totally different person.
Good, thank you.
And he's grown that way.
Okay, thank you, ma'am.
You're welcome.
So thank you. At this time, we'll talk to your parole officer and find out what Mr. Fogle thinks about your progress, okay?
Okay.
Are you still there, Officer Fogle? We'd like to, we're not going to ask for recommendations, but we'd like to tell us about his progress or any problems that he's had.
He did have an issue with his itinerary several months ago, probably about a month or so after he got out. He is out of place, and he's got the office back directed, and he spoke to the supervisor, and he told the supervisor it won't happen again, and it has. That's about the only in-person violation that I have detected since I've supervised him, and I try to be very thorough with anybody on him. He's matured quite a bit from just reading his file. I wasn't sure where I was going to get when Mr. Ellis was put forth on him and asked, but he has matured from the person that I wrote about in the file quite a bit, and he's done exceptionally well for somebody on home arrest, maintaining employment, was able to get a car, paying his own way, paid his finance fees, restitution, all the items that are required of him. His GA tests have all been clean, no unexcused GA tests. He's done exceptionally well.
Okay, thank you.
You're welcome.
Are there any questions from the board members? I don't know if I made the comments about you before you had on the phone or after, but we do know that you're a very thorough officer, and if you don't like what an inmate or somebody on home arrest is doing, you make it very clear very quickly, and we appreciate that because it does help people succeed.
Absolutely.
Okay, so do you have any other supporters that want to talk to us today?
No, sir. That's it. Yes, sir.
So now it's time to go to the other side, right?
It's kind of attorney, yes, sir.
Okay.
Everybody else might be helping.
As I indicated earlier, I'm from the County Attorney's Office. My name is Carrie Macias. I'm from the ROPE unit, which is the Repetitive Offender Unit. I don't know Mr. Arles, and I did not. I was at the office when his trial was done. From what I've heard, I'll start out and say this is exactly what we usually don't see in our unit, somebody doing so well when they come out of prison and having these things in place. However, as a representative of the victim, who, but for the fact that he hired a police officer, would be dead at this time, I do need to comment for the community. And really, what I want to say is he's doing great, but it's too soon. And the reason why it's too soon is he's been, as we said, in custody for 26 years. Unfortunately, that maturation that happens as we become adults doesn't necessarily happen in the prison system. It sounds like he's making enormous strides to get there, and that's fabulous. I hope he continues on that path. However, he does have so many safety nets in place that by taking them off only within 5 months is very dangerous for the community. Specifically, if he's off of home arrest, he will no longer have the GPS. That has helped him, I believe, continue to have that routine. He is also in a halfway house, so he has that enormous support. And obviously, he's brought him here today, and he has his family support. Hopefully, his family support continues, but without the monitoring, we don't know what's going to happen. And that support will no longer be in place. As far as the other things that he's learned, it looks like he's on a great path. But I think without us knowing what he's doing in the community, without having the weekly reporting to the parole officer, we no longer have the testing, and it doesn't seem to be an issue with any substance abuse. But we don't have a look at him in the community. And again, the offenses, the board is aware, was a very serious offense. But for the fact that he attempted to hire a police officer, we would have a victim here, a dead victim. Not only that, the underlying offense in which he was hiring the officer to kill his girlfriend for was an aggravated assault. I think we have had a bit of resounding theme, and anger management is appropriate. I think when we have the benefit of having a parole officer require him to do that, we have that benefit of knowing that he's going to be successful in the community. And so I'm really asking for another period of time in which we can see how he's doing, because I think that just 5.5 months after a 26-year sentence in the Department of Correction is too soon. That's all I have to say. Do you have any questions for me?
Any questions?
What unit did you say that was your website?
We call it ROPE. It's the Repetitive Offenders Units. Okay. Generally, what we do is deal with people who have been either in the system a very long time or who are identified by the police officers in the community as a threat to the community. So most often our offenders have multiple priors or have been a long time in the community and have failed at supervision.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you. Would you step back up a little?
Yes, sir. Who are you, sir?
So we've heard from your supporters, and we've heard from the county attorney's office, and the board will be going into discussion in a couple of minutes to make a determination about whether to grant you regular parole or after discharge or to leave you on home rest for another period of time. So at this time, we'd like to allow you the opportunity to give a final statement. Just for the purpose of time management, we'd ask that you don't repeat what we've already gone over. So.
Okay. Yeah, I'd like to say that, I imagine that the board, seeing so many cases, is that you guys become good judges of character. So I'm going to leave it to your discretion in that regard. I think that you can see where I'm at, what I'm doing, and you can see that this isn't just a flash in the pan. This is who I am. With respect to what Ms. Macias said, I disagree in the respect that people cannot mature in prison. I don't think that's the case. I think you can mature wherever you're at. It's just a question of what you want to do as a human being. And now, it's been 5.5 months, as she said. It's a short period of time, but as I said before, this process didn't start 5.5 months ago. It's been going on for years. And prison, you can use it in two ways. You can use it to get worse, or you can use it to get better. And I think that's pretty much the case wherever you're at in life. And it's just all about a decision. So I made that decision. I made that decision years ago. And the way I conducted myself in prison for the last 10 years of my sentence, and the way I've conducted myself since being released, is consistent with that decision. If the board lets me off of home arrest and grants me general parole, I'm going to succeed. We're not going to be back here talking about, we shouldn't have let him off home arrest because he did this or that or the other. The story from my house manager tells you how I respond to adverse situations. That was a tough situation, but at the same time it wasn't, because it was a right decision to make. And that's where I'm at in my life, making the right decisions. So you let me off of home arrest, and I know I'd be happy to do anger management if that's what the board wants me to do, if my parole officer wants me to do it, happy to do it. I'm happy to do anything that helps me to continue to improve as a human being. But I'm not going to fail if you take this ankle bracelet off me. I'm not going to disappoint you. I'm not going to disappoint them, all the people who have come down to support me. And I'm not going to disappoint my God. So if you give me that opportunity, I will make the most of it and I will succeed. Thank you.
All right. Thank you, sir. Go ahead and have a seat there. The board will be going into discussion. We'll be talking amongst ourselves. You've been in the boardroom before, so you know that we're under the open meeting law, and everybody here is entitled to hear the entire discussion. So we're going to go into discussion now, and if everybody will just remain silent while we do this, we appreciate it. And the board is now in discussion. And this is it's very interesting. It's very rewarding to see somebody that has been that successful as they come out, especially with a violent past and having to, the idea of maturing in prison. I think that you have to mature as you grow older, but it's a totally different maturity that you get in prison than no matter what your attitude is and what you get out in the community. I do agree with the county attorney's office. I spent a few years working around the rope detail in Glendale and saw what they're trying to do. And I agree that five and a half months is really not enough time on home arrest to really get totally reacclimated into society and to make sure that things are going to go well. I also think that Mr. Arrow should conclude something that's specific about anger management now that he's out, just to make sure, because like I say, maturing in prison is a whole lot different than maturing outside. And 5.5 months, he's done rather well, and but a little bit of reinforcement wouldn't be detrimental at all. And I do think that he needs to continue on home arrest for a while. And his progress is very, very good. But 5 months is just, in my opinion, as one voting member, not quite long enough on home arrest after spending that long in the prison system. But I'm willing to listen to any discussion from my fellow board members. Mr. Johnson.
Mr. Miller, I agree. And you know, I do have to commend Mr. Arrows for all the things that he's done and continued success that he has. But I think that I'd like to see him do some anger management. And I think what the what they said about the incident that occurred and someone spitting in his face, I think that takes an enormous amount of patience to be able to deal with that. But I also think that Mr. Arrows is a very intelligent young man, and that I can't help but to think that part of that is that, you know, he made a good decision, because the decision was to either react and get involved and sent back to prison as a part of his reaction, or have some humility and just back away and not do it. And I think that was a good thing. But I think that, you know, anger management and working on some of that would definitely do him some good and take him a long way, so that when those types of, and I would hope that no one gets involved in that type of incident where someone spits in their face, but you know, I would hope that that type of situation would do it. His mom, his sister, you know, said, you know, how he's changed and the things he has. And you know, you read the report now, in the beginning what it says and what is now is altogether different. So I'm in agreement. I think that if Mr. Arrow stays on home arrest a little bit longer and does some anger management, I think, and I think it'll help him. I think he'll learn more about himself, because this is a fast moving world. Things out here change so rapidly, even for, you know, us who are out here dealing with it, and every day things change so quickly for us. And technology, I commend you, probably have learned more about technology than I have. I don't even, you know, I have a drawing phone. I'm scared to go to an iPhone, because it probably won't know how to use it. So, you know, technology is so different out there. But I do think that he's done an excellent job. He has an excellent support system. People here that are supportive of him, I think that, you know, a little bit longer would be really more of a, not a hindrance, but a benefit to him as he begins to stable out his plans, his goal, and his success. We're talking about not just home arrest, but, you know, it's really helping to shape what he's going to be doing with the rest of his life.
Thank you. Dr.
Wright. Yes, sir. I think that the two groups summed it up quite well. You know, I was just thinking in terms of the time frame. There's an old saying, maybe it's not so old, maybe new to some people, it's T. Things take time. Yes, he's done quite well the past 5.5 months, but I think everything takes time, and I think that it would be in the best interest of the citizens of the state of Arizona, as well as himself, for him to prove that this is a long-term thing. This is not a short-term, because this is to, I know that he worked on it before while he was still incarcerated. However, it's going to take a while for him to adjust, and so that the citizens of Arizona can feel that he's adjusted. Well, because we're representing the 6 million plus people in Arizona when we sit here, and we want to make sure that we've done our due diligence. And I think that for him to continue on home arrest, and let's see what happens in the future, because he has done an outstanding job. No one can deny that. I would not deny that at all. He's done a great job. But 5.5 months and no anger management training or real anger management, I think is just not enough yet. Thank you.
Thank you, Dr. Wright. Okay, well, based on our discussion, then I'm going to make the motion to deny whether or after we discharge Mr. Errolson continue home arrest.
Agreed.
Thank you. Okay, so the board has voted to deny the referral or actually discharge at this time. I am not going to ask for a one-year setup, so that we'll see back in, you know, in 6 months. The reasons, it was a serious and...
I don't really do the reasons.
So, you know, the...
Yes,
oh, okay.
I think that's something that we do need to just say that, that he would continue on home arrest and not the other two that you've already mentioned, and that he would continue to whatever that is to adhere to the conditions of the Department of Corrections. I think that's all we need to say. And he's not on parole. He's on home arrest. So this is make it quite simple.
Right. So you do have to continue to follow the rules and Officer Pope will make sure that you know what they are. And hopefully we'll help you find some anger management course or two. That, I kind of agree with both determinations about maturity. And but we see a lot of people through here. And unfortunately, too often, the offenders become repeat offenders, and a big majority of what we deal with is people that are on community supervision that can't follow the rules. And so we want to make sure that you succeed. We want to see you succeed. We don't want to see you back in orange. You probably don't have any clothing that's orange at this time, and you probably never will buy any. We don't want to see the state giving you
more orange shirts for Christmas.
And the county attorney's office doesn't want to see. They don't want to see you back in prison. They want to see you succeed. And that's the whole idea of the work program in the first place, is to try to catch people before they're repeat offenders. And I commend you for talking to, even though these other people are substance abuse, perhaps substance abuse problems, mentoring from you might help them keep from ending up in prison or in jail over situations they don't or can't control. But we do highly commend you for your progress, and we commend your support system for putting up with you, helping to get there. And well, what they have to do is over and above what they normally do. And fortunately for your employer, the over and above what they have to do is because you're doing over and above what the other employees do. So we do commend you. You will continue on home rest, and we should see you in approximately 6 months. The VLC will certify for another hearing.
Just for the record, I think that what we're really saying is that he will follow all mandatory DOC conditions and sanctions, and I think the other one that he will take in available program and as directed, and the board would recommend some anger management.
Okay.
Just so that we can be clear what we are asking.
Okay, thank you, Dr. Ragland. I'm doing as you are, I'm learning a lot about the new system. So you understand the condition there, and we would recommend that your PO find a program for you and that you successfully complete your anger management thing. Okay?
Sounds good.
All right, this means we're hearing, and we do wish you luck. We thank everybody for showing up today and participating in the hearing. Everybody have a good day and a good night.